Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. Later tonight, we've got high school hoops coming your way. Midview taking on Avon Lake. Pre-game starts right around 6:30 tonight. Time to head right back to the hotline, and we're talking Columbus Blue Jackets hockey as we do every Friday. And to do that, we bring in Lorraine's very own Columbus Blue Jackets insider, Jeff Svoboda. Jeff, thank you for the time as always, my friend. How are things out on the West Coast?
They're good. It's actually funny. We come out here and everyone's like, oh, enjoy sunny California. And I'm not going to lie, when we were in L.A., it was fantastic. But now we're in San Jose, about ready to fly to Vegas, and it's about 50 degrees here, so it feels a lot like Ohio at the moment. So we didn't quite catch the best break on the weather, but you know, I'm not going to complain either, so it's nice to be out here.
50? That's it? 50?
Yeah, That's about all it is here in San Jose. Yeah, we're in Northern California, and it's just, I think in L.A. it's probably still in the 70s, but up here, a little further north, kind of in the hills, not quite as warm as it is down there.
Wow, okay. I mean, it's not all that far off of what we've got here, except it's pretty damp here these days. So take that for what it's worth, my friend. Hopefully you guys get some better weather when you go down to Vegas. We'll come back around to that matchup against the Golden Knights towards the end of our talk here, but a lot of late-night hockey this week. You guys are out on the West Coast, and you guys will be there through the weekend before you return, I believe, Tuesday of next week. But has it been tough to adjust being in a different time zone for basically all of this week?
I think it has been, personally. I'm exhausted. I don't know how the players do it, because it just, everything is kind of thrown off. The weird part is, for me, is like, you know, you wake up at, you know, I woke up today at probably 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's 11 o'clock back home. And so you look at your phone and everyone else is awake and you've got emails for people, and you've got texts, and you're like, wait a minute, what did I miss? It messes with your mind a little bit, just because it feels like, you know, if I slept till 8, which is, you know, not too bad, all things considered, I feel like I've missed a lot, just because of the fact that everyone else is awake. So it's like, wait a minute, do I have any emails or any calls or anything I need to get back to? So that's been a little bit weird mentally. Physically, I mean, yeah, you fly across the country and it's a long trip, that's for sure. Especially this one, it's even different than going to Colorado or Phoenix, which is a 2-hour time difference. You know, going all the way, I think, really does mess with the body a little bit. So I don't know how these guys are doing it. I can see why they come out a little sluggish in some of these games, but heck of a lot of respect for the players to come back and win two of these first three games on the road trip, just with how far away from home we are and the rigors of the travel. So they do think it's. I do think it's real. People who travel for a living probably get used to it, but we do this about twice a year, and I think every time it happens, you definitely feel it physically. So, yeah, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, and it certainly does take its toll. I think a lot of guys would tell you, you know what, you get used to it. It's what you get paid to do, but it does take its toll. No question about that. One guy, it seems like it really hasn't taken much of a toll on, is Elvis Merzlikins, and, well, he's been incredibly good of late. I mean, on this incredible point streak that they were on that was broken up with the Sharks last Saturday, despite what the Blue Jackets have done against the Sharks. Outside of that, they have been absolutely fantastic over the last month and change. What's made Merzlikins so incredibly good during this stretch?
That's a heck of a question. I mean, I think we're just seeing the goalie that he could be. At the beginning of the season, it's his first year in the National Hockey League. He came over, he's from Latvia, but was playing in Switzerland for the past 6 years, and was thought of by people who watch hockey across the pond, and people who watch him play at the international level, playing for his home country against teams like the United States at the World Championships and stuff like that. You know, there's never any question whether the talent was there, and certainly the athleticism was there. But he comes over, he's a very confident guy, and he's used to being the guy. I mean, he was kind of a beloved figure in Lugano, Switzerland, for the way that he played. He thrives on kind of, being the center of attention a little bit. And then he gets here and kind of gets in a goalie battle and gets off to a bit of a slow start and just doesn't play a whole lot of hockey the first 2 months of the season. And I don't think that was a situation he was used to, frankly. And so the injury happens to Jonas Korpisalo, the starting goaltender, and suddenly it becomes a situation where Elvis is the man. He has to be the man. And so I think that just kind of allowed him to really just settle into that role and just trust himself. I think his focus kind of narrowed in a little bit because, he suddenly had to be the guy. And then just the talent came out, and we're seeing it. It's not been perfect. There's been some situations, and where he's been fighting the puck a little bit. And then last night there was a situation where he went behind the net to play the puck, and ended up kind of getting stuck there and had to dive back in and make a miraculous save. But that's also his game, is that he might create a mess or two, but he's going to fix it as well. So At the end of the day, you know, they judge you on how many you let up. And so if you fix the mistake, then that's all that you can really ask for. So, but at the end of the day, he's a really talented guy, and it was just a matter of when was that talent going to shine through. And I think he just needed to have that opportunity where he felt like he was the guy and he felt like it was on his shoulders. And you know, these young guys in hockey, you know, the coaches say it a lot, is you know, once they get a role, that's where they really feel comfortable. And for the first 2 months, he really didn't have a role. He was the guy that just played every 2 weeks or played once a week or whatever. And now that he's the guy, I think it's done a lot for him.
On Twitter, you've detailed that the Jackets have done especially well over the last couple of weeks in games where they've given up the first goal. I believe they're 5-3 over their last 8 in games in that scenario. Any particular reason why they've done well in those games where they've given up the first goal?
I would love to know the answer to that. I mean, they would love to stop giving up the first goal, I'm sure, but I think it just speaks to there's kind of a belief and a feeling in that locker room that, you know, that they're not going to be denied a little bit. And it's always nice in sports. You know, every once in a while you see a team kind of acquire that. And it's a mystery how they get there, but once they get there, you want to ride that wave as long as you can. And that's what this team is doing right now. It's actually 6 of the last 8, I think, where they've given up the first goal. They've come back to win. And the funny thing about that was that for the first 15 games of the year when they gave up the first goal, they had exactly 0 wins. They were 0-10-5 when giving up the first goal the first 15 times it happened. And that just felt a little weird because even in games where they're scoring first, they still had some comeback victories. And so it was almost just kind of an anomaly that they didn't have any. And now it's probably a little bit of the opposite where, you know, this a run like this is not going to continue as far as winning games after giving up the first goal. But there is a little bit of that feeling that, you know, they can handle anything that's thrown at them. You know, they're resilient. They can handle adversity. It doesn't seem to faze them when they get down. And, you know, that's I don't want to say rare necessarily, but when a team does have that kind of that vibe about them, I say it's the kind of thing you just want to ride for as long as possible because, you know, I've covered sports for 15 years now, and, you know, when a team gets it, you never know how they're going to get it or when they're going to get it, but when they do get it, you know, those are the fun teams to watch, and it's almost like a little bit of a magic feeling that you wish you could bottle it, but you can't. You just have to, you know, take it as long as you can, and right now when they're in one of those runs, so it's been pretty cool to watch as far as that goes.
Again, we're speaking with Jeff Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. CBJ out west all week long there in Vegas tomorrow night. Well, the Jackets, for whatever reason, they've had their issues with the Sharks. That's really been the only team that's been able to achieve any kind of sustainable success against the Jackets. That's 2 losses for the Jackets against the Sharks in the last 6 days. Any particular reason why they've had their issues with them and really not many other teams during this stretch?
Yeah, that is a good question. I would like to have the answer last night, I can tell you that for sure, because, yeah, 2 losses in 6 days. Yeah, the Blue Jackets have only have, in the last 16 games, only have 2 regulation losses, and they're both against San Jose. I would say the answer probably just lies in the fact that, you know, the Sharks, you know, if they say styles make fights in boxing, I think that's a phrase you'll hear every once in a while. I think styles make fights in hockey, too, because it's such a fast-paced game. You know, sometimes teams play in a way that they come together. It's like fixing, you know, 2 solutions together in science, and sometimes you mix them together and they work out really well and something awesome happens, and sometimes you mix them together and you just don't get a very good result. And I think for the Blue Jackets and the Sharks, it's the latter, and just that, you know, the way that they end up, the way that the 2 teams are trying to play and with their respective skill sets, it just becomes a weird game where neither team can really get much going through the neutral zone, and there's not a lot of speed and transition played in the game, and so it just becomes kind of a slog each way, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, one-off chances, a lot of just kind of weird plays where, you know, it kind of comes down to the bounces at that point. In those 2 games, the Blue Jackets just didn't get the bounces, and it might just be as simple as that. But, I mean, the Sharks do kind of, they're a big team. They're kind of hard to get to the net against. They kind of, you know, they don't give you a whole lot of chances. I don't think their goaltending is all that good, but you still have to get those chances and to kind of take advantage of that, and you know, against the Blue Jackets, they've kind of not allowed those. So good news is they don't have to see them on the schedule the rest of the year. The 2 games in the season series are over, and they don't have to worry about them, and now maybe they can get the streak going again against the Knights and keep it going against teams not named San Jose.
Yesterday you mentioned Andrew Peak, Cam Atkinson were both at practice. They both skated at practice. Any idea when they might be able to get back in the lineup?
I think, well, the fact that they're skating is a good sign. I think they're both pretty close. I think Cam Atkinson, it's just a matter of he's got a high ankle sprain. So the leading scorer from a year ago, it's just a matter of when he trusts that to really let it loose in a game. And I think he was close before L.A. On Monday night. And then he had a full practice on Sunday. and just didn't feel like it was quite ready. So he decided to kind of take a little bit of a breather there and just wait and see how that's going to go. So, but I don't think he's terribly far, but of course with a high ankle sprain, you just never know how long it's going to be. So it could be one of those things where, you know, it could be another week or two, or it could be tomorrow. You just never know how something like that's going to heal. It's a very slow day-to-day process. And then with Andrew Peak, the rookie defenseman, he has a broken finger. So the fact that he's back out there and, you know, has the puck on his stick, that's probably a pretty good sign. So he might be a guy that gets back in the near future as well. So the good news for the Blue Jackets is I think the last couple times we've done this interview, we've always talked about his injuries. And you know, I think we've now gone, well, at least in the three games of this trip, no one's left injured, which is an accomplishment, all things considered. That's the first time we've gone three games without an injury in about a month and a half. And we've actually gotten a couple guys back in that span as well. So good news for the Blue Jackets. Maybe that injury luck is changing a little bit. And they're starting to look like a team that, you know, needs to get some of their top scorers back and needs to get some of that firepower back. You know, they got through a little bit of a run there with basically dressing half the Cleveland Monsters lineup for a while. And it was a great story, but, you know, at some point the harsh reality of the NHL kind of catches up with you and you need your guys back. And I think we might kind of be getting to that point where, you know, it would be really nice to have the Cam Atkinsons and the Oliver Bjorkstrands and the Josh Andersons back on the ice, because those are guys that combined for more than 80 goals last year. So you'd love to have those guys back at some point. And hopefully it looks like maybe in the near future, I think Anderson's getting pretty close to skating. Bjorkstrand should be getting there as well. So, and Cam being very close, those are all good signs for this team.
While we're on that topic, last week when we spoke with you, you were on your way up to Cleveland to check out the Monsters, or at the time, the Lumberjacks, I guess. But you wrote a story about that last weekend, detailing how the Jackets have been able to stay afloat through all these injuries because due in part to what we're getting from Cleveland. What were some of your major takeaways in putting that story together?
Yeah, kind of the two main things that that were interesting to me, and the first one I think is kind of a cool idea, and it goes back to when I covered Ohio State football. The one thing that Urban Meyer always preached was alignment. Like, everybody has to be pulling the same rope, and everybody has to be aligned and going the same direction, and that's something that the Blue Jackets did this year with the minor league team up in Cleveland, is that they wanted the coaching staff to be speaking the same language, and they wanted to be doing the same things on the ice, so that when a guy gets called up, you know, it's the same style, it's the same systems, as they call it in hockey, but I guess strategy would be a way to put it for those outside the sport, is you want to have the same strategies and the same way of playing, so that, you know, guys get called up and they don't have to go in to Columbus and learn a whole new way of kind of playing the game. And in hockey, there's not too many ways to play the game. You won't, you know, five guys and that much ice, there's only so many things you can do. But they at least wanted to make sure they were speaking the same language. So the new coach in Cleveland this year is Mike Eaves, was hired this past offseason. And when he was hired, basically they said, you're going to come to Columbus and you're going to learn the way we do things, and that's the way you're going to kind of teach these guys. And he was all about it. He's been in college coaching the last 30 years or so, so he's used to coaching young guys and understood why that would be so important. So, you know, they're basically running the same systems at the two levels, and so, you know, when the guys get called up, they come up to Columbus, and they don't, you know, they can just go play. They don't have to learn anything new. And so I thought that was a pretty neat idea that, you know, some teams do it, some teams don't, and the Blue Jackets thought it was important to do that this year. And I think it's paid dividends with guys just being able to jump in quickly and play. And then the other thing is just, you know, Mike Eaves, the coach, is a guy that a lot of people speak very highly of. You know, was coach at the University of Wisconsin for a long time, won a national championship there. He's very affable and very likable, but he's also very demanding and the kind of guy that pushes guys down at that level. And I think him and his staff there, you know, he's got some good young coaches who were longtime players as well, who have just gotten out of the game but are on the coaching side, that really interact well with the players of the age that they are down at the AHL level. So that coaching staff down there has done a really good job just to get guys ready so that when they come up, they're pretty much ready to go. And you can see it on the ice because, yeah, those guys, at some point there's about eight or nine guys who had played for Cleveland this year playing for the Blue Jackets, and they pretty much all jumped in and done a pretty good job.
Well, Jeff, before we wrap up, we mentioned that the Jackets have one more on this West Coast swing. They take on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow night. Let's get a preview of tomorrow night's game. What should we expect?
Well, it is Vegas, so it'll be wild and crazy. It's the loudest building in the National Hockey League, I think. It's like going to a Vegas show, except there's a hockey game in the middle instead of Cirque du Soleil. So it's definitely a unique atmosphere. Blue Jackets went there a year ago and won that game late, so I think they maybe have a little bit of confidence of going out there. So it should be a fun game to watch. Both teams are kind of coming off losses where they didn't play very well, and they were pretty disappointed to lose those games. Vegas lost last night as well, and kind of blew that game, I think. So they're going to be fired up. I would imagine the Blue Jackets are fired up after losing to San Jose. So it should be a game that I don't think either team is going to take very long to be ready to play this one. A year ago, when Columbus went there, it was probably the fastest first period of the year. They just were back and forth and back and forth. And if you know, history holds, it'll be that way again tomorrow night. So it should be a pretty fun game. You know, 10 o'clock start for anyone that wants to stay up for some CBJ after dark. But it might be worth it, because if they play a game like they did last year in Vegas, it'll be a fun time.
CBJ after dark has been a theme all week long, so I'm sure you guys are ready to get back to the Eastern Standard Time Zone at the end of this weekend. Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, that's Jeff Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and let's take a break. Matt and I will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.